What you're going to hear for the next 2 hours is an amazing story of hypnotic regression with many children worldwide who are visited by extraterrestrial beings. Hypnotherapist Barbara Lamb joins us. Her latest work, by the way, is called Kids Adventures with ET Friends in Space, based on real-life accounts. And the illustrator, who has done just a marvelous job, is Mary Edwards as well. We'll be back with Barbara in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Barbara Lamb. She is a psychotherapist and a certified hypnotherapist and regression therapist as well. Barbara regresses people with past life experiences and also conducts experiencer support groups at many large conferences. I've met her at many. Her website is BarbaraLambRegressions.com, linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. She's got several books out, Meet the Hybrids, Alien Experiences, and her latest is kind of a fun book on kids, Kids Adventures with ET Friends in Space, based on real accounts. Barbara, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, George. I'm delighted to be here.
And how are you these days?
I'm fine. Really busy these days.
How did you get involved in hypnotherapy? How did that first start for you?
Well, first of all, I became licensed as a psychotherapist back in 1976, way back there. And then in 1984, I began to have a few years of training to be a past life regression therapist. And that eventually morphed into people coming for regressions who had had extraterrestrial encounters. And of course, when they first started coming in 1991, some of them knew that they were having strange visitors at night, and sometimes they were having missing time, or sometimes they would have unusual markings on their bodies or little lumps under their skin, which turned out to be implants. And so they didn't really know what was going on, but they knew something very peculiar was happening to them now and then. So anyway, we did regressions to some of those experiences, and it turned out that they were extraterrestrial encounters. So that's how I happened to get into that. And my goodness, George, since 1991, I have had the great privilege, I consider it, of regressing well over 2,000 individuals to these extraterrestrial experiences.
And Barbara, when you were doing this and you were getting these kinds of accounts, did you think, this is weird, this is strange?
Well, I did, yes, because I, like most of us, I didn't grow up with that kind of knowledge at all. And I had thought that UFOs and extraterrestrials were simply fiction. That's what I thought. So when people started coming to me with these particular happenings and wonderings, you know, I really wasn't thinking in terms of extraterrestrials, but the more the regressions went on and the more detailed the experiences were that were coming out in regression, you know, I finally had to believe that, whoa, a lot of people are getting visited by these beings and having a variety of experiences.
At what point did you start getting involved with the children?
Well, even back in that first year, in 1991, I was working with about three different adults about their extraterrestrial experiences, and they were talking about their children having reports. The children would give reports of, you know, unusual visitors in the room at night, or being flown out the window and up into the air and into someplace else. And so the adults began to think, wow, I'm not only having these experiences, but my child is having them. So fortunately for them and for me, some of these mothers were bringing their children in to my office just to have a chat about these things. And what they were describing about the beings and about what was happening to them certainly sounded like what was happening to the adults, and that they were indeed having experiences with what we call extraterrestrial beings. But I'd like to mention some of the ways that children talked about them. It's kind of cute in some ways. In other words, some children would report that fairies were in their room last night.
Huh.
Or some kids called them monsters. Oh, those little monsters came again. Or kids said, oh, yeah, those little sparkles of light came in the room through the window and they swirled around and made all these pretty patterns. And some kids even said, you know, a big ball of light, white light, came into the room and woke me up, and it was sort of flying around, and then it stopped, and then out of this big ball of light came a little guy, a little being, a little, like a little gray being, or sometimes even three little beings. Of course, they didn't know to call them aliens.
Right. They didn't know what they were.
Extraterrestrials, no, but they just would see this thing happen. And some people called them little people. So they'd report the next day to mom and dad, oh, the little people came. Or I know one child kept talking about the funny little people. And one lady saw all these little sparkles flying around in the room when these occasions would happen. And she called them the fireflies because that's what it reminded her of. And then I had somebody at one point, one child called them the gargoyle people because he'd seen statues yeah. on Notre Dame and different cathedrals like that. And so these ET visitors reminded him of the gargoyles. Another lady saw little lights very frequently around the ceiling, the edge of the wall where it met the ceiling all the way around, and she called them the little woodgies.
The little woodgies?
Yeah, yeah. So in other words, kids don't know what to call them, so they sort of make up their own name. And another little boy said, oh yeah, that little old man came again last night, the one with the wrinkly face. And then many children have reported that somebody, a being or two or three, have come out of the closet or in through the window. But I've really been amazed at how many people report these beings coming out of the closet.
That sounds like a portal to me, Barbara.
It does sound like a portal. And, of course, the children don't know that concept about a portal. But they certainly do frequently describe that. And some people call them their space friends.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these, kids are quite scared, even terrified, as they see these beings come in, particularly the ones that they consider are monsters. But then there are plenty of other kids who consider these beings as their friends, as playmates, as companions.
Have any of these children been taken and then brought back?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's all part of the experience. And typically, just as it is with adults or any age, the child will remember waking up and the beings in the room and very often not being able to move mm-hmm. or call out. And they might be aware enough to have realization of being levitated up off the bed and floated across the room, floated through the room or through the wall with these beings. And sometimes they'll remember even kind of like being floated up in a beam of light into something.
It's got to be petrifying for the kid.
Well,
it's scary for an adult.
Yes, yes, indeed. It can be scary for any age. However, what I have found with adults and with children, the more we talk about all this, and then when we do regressions too, of course, that they realize that oh, what seemed to be terrible and scary and frightening very often turns out to be an okay experience once they really realize what the details were.
Right.
And that in some cases they were even helped in various ways by these beings.
These beings sense the kid is scared or something, I bet.
Oh, they must, yes. And I think that is why they try to do this clandestinely, because they know that they can really scare humans.
What do you think they want, though, Barbara? I mean, why deal with little kids? What's happening?
Well, you see, George, there are so many different kinds of extraterrestrial beings, different species from all over the place.
True.
And
true.
So they each have their own agenda. So it depends on which group of ETs we're talking about. Some of them are more scientifically oriented, and they want to study. They want to study us. They want to study children, teenagers, young adults, older adults, and understand how our physiology works.
Maybe they seeded us and they're checking back. Possible?
Real good possibility. What a good idea you have. Yeah, many of us do have that theory that is quite likely. We don't know for sure, but quite likely. So some of the beings, as I say, like to really understand how our bodies work. And that even begins with understanding a child's body. Some of them are more interested in how they can help a human's body, whether that's a child or an older person. And they do a lot of healing of different conditions that we humans have. And sometimes if they don't go ahead and heal something that they can see is wrong, they will warn the person that they have a liver problem or whatever the problem is that they're seeing, and they'll suggest to the person that when the person gets home again, the person will go to his own doctor for a checkup and say that he suspects that maybe he has that particular problem, which the ETs have detected, and that, you know, the doctor will go ahead and treat that condition. But so many times, even children and any age of person will be actually healed of whatever the condition is, healed right there on the spaceship, or even in some cases, the person is healed right there at home in their own bed. In other words, the whole encounter just stays right there in the person's home. And it's frequently done, that is, the healing is done with some kind of application of light. Sometimes.
Yeah, or green goo, as you have.
Yeah, green goo, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the notable things about children, that sometimes children have found that they've been taken on board and put in a tub, like a bathtub type of arrangement, and instead of water in that tub, it's filled with what they describe as green goo, because it's sort of a little bit, it's runny but thick, a little bit viscous. Of course, they don't use that word. And that they just sort of soak their bodies, like soaking in a bathtub, and that there's something about that green substance that gets absorbed through the child's skin and heals the child of whatever the difficulty is. And then on other occasions, sometimes a child is sick to some extent when taken aboard the spacecraft, and the child is given a glass of green liquid to drink. And that is a very healing process as well. So we humans don't know what makes up that green substance, but I wish we had it because it seems to be a wonderful healer.
These are just amazing stories in this real small book. For
yes.
Kids. Is this primarily for kids or adults? Because I find it kind of interesting myself.
Good for you. Yes, well, we wrote the book for kids primarily, but with the idea that in many cases a parent or grandparent or babysitter might be reading that book or just looking at it, you know, with the child, maybe reading the captions, whether the child can read or not. Kids love to be read to. And the idea is that this can validate for children if they have had these encounters. And one reason why that's important is because so many children tell their parents that their little Woodgies or their little space friends or whatever have been there again last night. And the parents very often don't believe the child.
They don't see this experience, do they?
No, they don't see it. They are in their own rooms just totally sound asleep. We call that being switched off when anybody who could be aware of the beings come. They are made to be very, very deeply asleep so that even if the person having the experience could call out to them, these very deeply asleep people wouldn't be aware of it. So anyway, we want to validate the experiences for children who are actually having them, and we want to be able to get them past their parents saying, oh, you know, it must be just your imagination, or you must have an imaginary friend, or it must be some other, you know, kind of something happening in your dream. You must have dreamt it. And so the child, you see, feels denied. And that's confusing for the child because he knows that he saw what he saw and experienced what he experienced. And yet the adults in his life often deny it.
Right.
So that's
trying to convince him it never happened, right?
Yeah. So that's really tough for the kids. So we have done this book in order to validate that some children really do have these encounters. And we want to open up the conversation between these children and the parents or whoever the adult is sharing the book. And also, we have found that this can help to validate the parents' own experiences when they were children, if they had these visitors come to them. And many, many people, I have found, many people who are realizing as adults that they are and have had ET experiences when they were adults.
Is it genetic?
They often can remember by looking at this book and seeing these different scenarios that children experience. Sometimes their memories are tweaked, and they think, oh, my God, I remember that happening. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it validates the parents' experience if they have had those kinds of experiences. Also, in producing this book, we wanted to educate those people who are not experiencers of ET contacts. And we want to educate them that there are these other beings and that many people, not everybody, but many people do have encounters with these beings. And so we hope in a larger sense to help prepare more people for more information about UFOs.
Barbara, we're going to take a break and let's come back and talk more about these experiences with the ET visitors and these children. We're with Barbara Lamb back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take your calls and questions with Barbara Lamb next hour here on Coast to Coast. We've still got more child experiences to talk about and ETs as well. And welcome back to Coast, Barbara Lamb with us, George Norrie here. Barbara, did any of the kids talk about bad ET experiences?
Well, a lot of them have talked about being very frightened, and we acknowledge that in the book, ET Friends.
And adults are frightened, too. Who
yes.
can blame them?
Anybody could be. I'm sure I would be, too. But anyway, so the more that the kids have found out through talking and those who have been regressed as well, the more they have found out that about the details of the experiences, usually the less frightening it all is, especially when they come to a point of understanding why they have been taken by these beings and what the different procedures are. So they find out very often that there are some really very positive experiences going on. I mean, sometimes, for instance, they go to special classes with some other human abducted children and also some hybrid children and some extraterrestrial children. And typically they describe these classes as sitting around on the floor on a spacecraft, and there are always a couple of adult ETs there. And then they are taught how to levitate things with their minds.
Wow.
And that is really fun when they get to accomplish that. You know, they're not allowed to touch anything, but they do it completely with sending energy and focus from their minds. And this is one of the illustrations that we have in the book, showing how kids are levitating a basketball. So they start out with something really, really light, like a feather, and move the feather that's sitting on the floor in the middle of the circle of them sitting around. And then when they can accomplish that, they'll do something a little bit heavier, like maybe a small piece of paper, and then gradually a bigger piece of paper, and then maybe some object that's fairly light in weight, and the objects get bigger and heavier the more advanced they get in this skill until they can move an actual basketball, which, of course, has pretty good size and weight to it, and they can throw that from one side of the circle to the other simply by using their minds. So that is really enhancing for them. They feel very successful, and of course they get praised by the extraterrestrials. And they also learn in these classes on board the ship how to communicate telepathically. And they also learn psychometry, in other words, how to know things by touching them. They can know about the person who owns the object. And they also learn how to heal people. And they use those healing skills sometimes when they come back to Earth.
Have you been able to track these children, Barbara, into adulthood? And if you have, are they very special?
Yes, very, very often they are. Because, you see, they're taught a whole variety of psychic skills. So many of them grow up to be very psychically adept, and they can do things like see auras and read auras. In other words, read the condition of a person's body just by looking at that energy field around them. And they can, some of them can look at a person and detect a physiological malfunction going on in the body. This is like being a medical intuitive. So some of those kids really carry those skills into adult life and definitely use them frequently. Some of them have learned to talk with deceased people, get messages like a medium. So they'll grow up to be a medium. But even as a young child learning these skills, Sometimes they just amaze the adults around them because they can bring through a message from grandpa or grandma or the neighbor down the street who died or things of that sort. And sometimes the adults are just totally baffled, like, how does this child know this? Wow. So also on the ship, they get to play with E.T. children.
Hybrids?
That's a different kind of thing. I mean, they play somewhat differently than we do. And they also sometimes play with hybrid children. And that is the hybrids who are, you know, partly extraterrestrial, partly mm-hmm. human.
Could be their brothers or sisters, right?
Well, in a way.
Who knows?
They could be. I think that's possible. So they get exposed to all these different kinds of beings. And, that's pretty expanding, broadening for the child. Now, sometimes they do get physically examined on the ship, like they're on a medical-type exam.
Yeah, you've got an illustration with a bunch of ETs up and on in the rafters looking down at a examination.
Yes, we do. So the child may be kind of baffled about that, and it may not be entirely comfortable being watched by all of those beings. And you notice, if you're looking at the picture, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of beings. There, we've got a big, tall mantis being. We've got a couple of hybrids with really sort of wiry, wispy hair. We've got a couple of little gray beings. We have a reptilian being. We have a tall white being. And another being with kind of fairly big ears. And the little boy lying on the table in this picture, there are two gray aliens, and one of them is holding what kind of looks like a long flashlight, but it's emitting light, like golden light, on the child's body. And they're actually in the process of healing him. And there's also a big, tall mantis being, green, very tall, thin, green mantis being with huge eyes. And he's sort of holding his arms and hands in a way that suggests that he too is sending healing to the little boy lying on the table. So when these kids realize that they're being taken care of, they're not just being poked and probed, but they're actually being helped by these beings, then it all begins to really feel differently. And sometimes then they think, oh, well, these guys are pretty weird, but actually they're being my friends and they're helping me.
What do these kids, when they come back from these experiences, Barbara, are they like A-plus students all over again or something like that?
Well, as I said, they tend to be learning all these psychic skills, so they're way ahead of their peers.
But, I mean, do they ace out their science courses and everything else?
Well, they tend to be very bright kids, and I think that their intelligence has probably increased.
And I bet they were bright before they even got selected.
I think so, yeah. It seems to me, I concluded after several years of doing this work, that they seem to choose what I call good stock of people. In other words, people, you know, who really have physical strength, physical well-being, and lots of intelligence, and very often lots of different talents. So I think that the ET beings tend to choose good people. So I've met so many adults who've said, why me? You know, why did they choose me? What's different about me? Why not my neighbor, or why not my brother or sister? And I point out that I think that they are to be complimented, that these beings wanted to choose them.
Those that are sick, Barbara, are they healed? And did they have any specific kinds of horrible diseases?
Oh, yes. Thanks for asking that. Yeah, many, many people have been healed of really serious things like drastic kidney problems, liver problems, heart problems, cancer, broken bones, simpler things like that, digestive problems. I mean, gosh, you name it, people have been healed of those things by extraterrestrials at any age, by the way. And I want to mention that the youngest person I know of, whom I've worked with, who was taken for some of these experiences, this was a baby who was still in its mother's womb.
Oh,
so that is pretty young. He hadn't even been born yet.
And they grabbed him?
Yeah, well, they didn't take him away from his mother, but a being came. This was a man I worked with for several years and did lots of regressions. And we went back to the very first experience he had ever had, because he didn't consciously know when that was. And what happened is that he found himself in his mother's womb, and he could feel warmth coming through the wall of the uterus and into him. And then he heard in his own head, heard a voice, seemed like a male voice, saying that he was there to heal the congenital heart, a congenital hole that this infant, this fetus, had in his heart. And the being went on to say, if you are born with this hole in your heart, you will not be able to live. So I am here to add an invisible electromagnetic strip over the hole in your heart. And I will be visiting you many times in your life to refurbish this invisible electromagnetic strip over the hole in your heart. So that was the first experience that that man had. And then we did many regressions to different childhood ages. And each time he had a visit and was taken on board, the same being, who seemed to be a gray being, but about 5'7", and with faceted eyes, in other words, different sort of angles like cut glass in his eyes. My client called him the man with the beveled eyes. And that same being would work on his heart and replace the invisible electromagnetic strip over the hole in his heart, which was holding it together so the blood wouldn't bleed out of his heart. And so he refurbished this strip here and there, like about every other year, it seemed like, while the boy was growing up, and continued to work with him well into adulthood. So that was great. So anyway, a lot of experiences do happen when the person is an infant. And he's the only one I know who had the experience when he was still in his mother's womb. But sometimes a newborn baby is taken from the hospital nursery just a few hours after birth. And what happens in a case like that is that the beings come and they temporarily switch off or made unconscious the personnel in the nursing department.
All of them.
And all of them, doctors, nurses, orderlies, whatever, and they take the baby, and probably they're checking the baby and correcting anything that's wrong, if there's something wrong, and then return the baby, and nobody knows the difference.
So they're pretty benevolent, aren't they?
Well, I have concluded that. I certainly didn't begin this work thinking that, but after so many regressions and so many positive things happening, I definitely feel that so many of the experiences really are positive. So anyway, children have repeated visits and during childhood and teenage years. Some have been taken from the bassinet at home when they're newborns. Some have been taken from the crib. Some have been taken from the childhood bedroom when they're, you know, big enough to be in a bed.
Sure.
And even if a sibling or more are present, those siblings are switched off, in other words, made to seem very deeply asleep and not aware of the experience while the one child is taken. And occasionally, I've met somebody who slept in a room with a brother or sister, and on rare occasion, that brother or sister will also see the beings who have come into the room, or at least see the light, like there sometimes is a big beam of light that will come through the window and toward the bed where the child is. And sometimes they'll witness things like that, or even witness the beings, and then they are switched off.
That's remarkable. Barbara, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We'll chat more, and we'll also take phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.